were some of you worried just a moment ago? I wonder what was going through your mind just a second ago, thinking, oh, that Jarvis is talking again, I know it. It's amazing the thoughts that can just start cooking inside the head in just a moment when you're not sure what's happening, isn't it true? Geez, something coming up here? Okay, this is awkward. Hey, do you notice even the thoughts that were just cooking through your head just a moment ago? I'm sure he'll be coming any second. Yeah, let me grab a chair. A couple years ago, I did a message here on a Sunday morning. And I think I called it Voices in My Head. And I don't know if some of you would have been here for that, but it got people talking, people worried about me, first of all. As I talked about voices in my head, they said, oh, geez, Jarvis really is crazy. There's something going on there. But really, since that time, I began to realize really what I was trying to get at was the thinking in my head was getting the best of me. I would wake up at night. I don't know if you've had this happen. And my eyes would pop open, but I knew I had been awake. My mind was racing. I was thinking about stuff. And oftentimes, I'd find myself playing through a situation that had just happened, a conversation with someone, and in my head, I'm convinced I left, and that person is really upset with me. Have you ever had this happen? And I'm just like, oh, my heart's racing. And the conversation has just gone through my mind numerous times. And now what I'm left with in my head is this little movie of what's going on inside that person's head. And I'm thinking, oh, why did I say that? I should email them at 3 a.m. But I am so nervous. I'm thinking, I think I'll get up right now and do that. Ever felt that kind of panic? There were times when we would be having people over. And only about an hour, hour and a half before they're coming, something inside me, my thinking, starts to get a little panicked. I don't know how to explain this other than I noticed something wrong with the house. Or the food that we're going to barbecue. Like, why did we decide this? We should have, or something my kid's wearing, or something's the matter. And all of a sudden, I get a little panicky, and I find myself barking at Kathy or the boys, and hey, go and change. And that's what we're doing for Appies? Come on, you kidding? I'm going to the store. That's the wine room? And it's not until after everything's said and done. I wake up in the morning now, or after the company has left, and I look back at that moment I had prior, or at 3 a.m, or just before company came, and I go, whoa, what was I thinking? I'm looking at Kathy as we're getting ready to go to bed and she's brushing her teeth and I'm going, hey, I'm really sorry about how I was acting earlier before, they came over. I just, That's when I began to learn a couple years ago that this actually is common. This happens to many. You can be right in the middle of the day and all of a sudden the mind starts thinking, you go, oh, shoot, I forgot to phone. Oh, I should call them. Oh, no, I can't, right? Oh, they're going to be upset. What's going on there? Your mind. Right? Oh, I'll bet $100 that whether you realize it or not, your thinking can get the best of you at times, can weave you into a place where you're thinking things, panicking, stressed. It's up here. I stumbled on a book that began to talk about this very thing. And actually, I've since read a number of different books. The one I read, started reading, was called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, right there. But he started talking, and as I'm reading this, it's like he's just going, do you ever have this happen? Do you ever experience this? And I'm like, yes. Yes. And it's weird. Up until that moment, I've had this going on all my life. It's up until that moment, I didn't realize how much it affects me. These mind games, mental chatter, internal dialogues, I've come to learn can create quite a major disturbance in our lives. If left unchecked, they can rob you of your peace and your joy, make you into someone, even momentarily or temporarily, that you really don't want to be, that you are not proud of. The good news is you can be free from the tyranny of your mind, but only if you understand what's going on. Only if you become conscious of it. Most are not conscious of what I'm just describing right now and how much it affects us. Now, before I jump into this morning, I want to be careful just to say that I don't believe our mind is bad, right? I think our mind, our active thinking mind, plays a really important role. In fact, it can make us settle in and be more comfortable with the world and the surroundings around and all the stuff that's happening around us. It plays an unbelievable role, in fact. You walk outside on a day like today and all of a sudden you feel the cold, right? What happens? Instantly your mind says, it's chilly out here. Why does it think that? Why does it? And it can be thinking that almost to the point where you're having to say it. Ooh, it's cold out here. Why? You felt it. You know it's cold. But your mind thinks it, right? In a matter of seconds, it says, you know what? You're heading to your warm car. You'll be fine. You'll be in the warm building in just a minute. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm all right. It's like a backseat driver. Weird. It gives you the sense of having more control over your surroundings than you actually have. It just says, ease up. You're okay. Just turn up the heat. Oh, yeah, I'm okay. It does this. You can be working out and be in a world of pain as you're doing those final reps of that set, and your psyche's screaming, stop, owie, right? And all of a sudden you're thinking, yeah, I'm stopping right now. And then your psyche flips, and it says, actually, you did 5 more of these on Tuesday. And then all of a sudden you're flipping right back in. Oh, I'm going to do this. And you finish off. It's this protection mechanism, a line of defense that makes you feel empowered. It can push you to do more. It can settle you down so you don't freak out or panic. It has an incredible role to play. It's not all bad. But here's the rub. It always seems to have a problem with something. Think about this for a second. Your mind always seems to have a problem with something. I mean, really, when was the last time you really had nothing bothering you? Nothing. I was walking from our master bedroom just down the stairs the other day, and I looked down and I noticed some dog hair on the side of the stairs. I'm going, geez, we've got a vacuum. I got down to the bottom of the stairs. I went, what time is it? Oh, I'm going to be late. It's Start grabbing my stuff. I walk out to the garage, flip open the garage door, and I notice this fine layer of dust on the car. Go, oh, I just washed that thing. Get into the car, I pull out. People are packing up for the long weekend. I go, oh, so-and-sos are going camping this weekend. Why am I not going camping this weekend? This is in a matter of like 10 minutes. I'm driving along, I'm going, why does that guy wait until the last second to budge into the line here? Buddy, that was your fault, that was you, not our problem. When was the last time your mind had nothing bothering it? That's the rub. It is continually noticing things that are problems. Huh? This part of us, our internal thinkers, are incredibly good at pointing out problems, complaining, reacting, being right, making wrong. Let me ask you something. What does your mental chatter, your active mind, sound like inside of you? When you stand in front of a mirror, does it remind you of your weight? Does it get bothered, perhaps at times, when someone seems to do something better than you do? Does it get upset when someone says something or posts something on Facebook that you disagree with or don't believe in? What's that moron thinking? That's embarrassing. Look at the typos. The more I became aware of this incessant thinking inside of me, the noise, the constant chatter, and how it was affecting my present mood, my reactions, my sleep, my perceptions of people. The more I became aware of it, the more I wanted to make it stop, even for a moment. Even have peace for like 5 minutes. Can you make it stop? Can you make it stop for even a moment? Michael Singer, in his book, The Untethered Soul, he says, you'll never be free of problems until you're free from the part within that has so many problems. I remember reading that going, whoa. He says, when a problem is disturbing you, when your mind begins sending signals, messages, lots of mental noise starting to rev up, Singer says, don't ask about what you're supposed to do about it. Jeff, at 3 a.m, don't start writing emails to that guy to solve the problem your mind has created. No. Ask yourself, what part of me right now is so disturbed by that problem? Think hard about that for a second. He said in that moment, the question isn't, how can I fix things with so-and-so? He says, step back and observe the voice, observe the thinking, the thought. Recognize that that thought is not you. You are not that thought. You're here. You're looking at that thought. He said, step back and look at the thought. Oh, now this is a trip. Hey, it's like, wah! I remember reading this going, He says, you're bothered right now. Step back and look at that thing, that voice that's saying, so-and-so, they're mad. Look at it. Really? You know you've done this before.
I've heard you.
Oh, after Christmas, oh, my family drives me nuts. I spend 15 minutes with my brother-in-law in that room and drive me crazy. How do you know he's driving you crazy? What's happening in those moments? You're stepping back. You're going, oh, look at that. My brother-in-law is saying something, and look at me. Rawr. Whoa. You do this. You watch it going on, and you come away going, something happens when my brother and I get into the room. He drives me crazy. You look at it, and you go, whoa, I see it like a fly on the wall. The danger is if you can't step back and see it. If you can't step back and see the compulsive thinking and the narratives from both the past and the present, the future, and the problems that the mind is continually building and sending out, you can easily, he says, get lost in them. You'll actually get to the point you begin to believe everything the mind is talking and chattering about. You believe everything. And that there is the real problem. You know why? Because sometimes the mental chatter, the brain's messages, they aren't accurate. Do you hear me? Sometimes what the chatter is saying is not truthful. It doesn't have a full grasp on reality, the facts. They're deceptive sometimes. There's this painful story in the Bible about a king who got lost in his own mind, in his own thinking. It destroyed him. Talking about King Saul. King Saul. It all started one day when Saul hears some women singing songs, which is common in that day. There were patriotic anthems they would write about their leaders, and they would march to the streets and they'd sing these songs often after a big battle had been won. And they're singing these songs, and Saul is sitting there celebrating, proud of his people and his country, and obviously filled with a sense of pride over the fact that he's the leader. And these women start singing, and they start singing this song, and in the words of the song, they sing, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000. Saul instantly got irked. Wait a second. I've killed my thousands and David has killed 10,000. All of a sudden, it seems David's inner narrative start cooking. Wait a second. They love David more than me. They think David's better than me. They want to make him king and punt me out. That's where this is leading. His mental narratives are flying. His mind became so convinced that David was someone who couldn't be trusted. He was a threat. Now, if you don't remember, David was a fairly new recruit to Saul's army. Really, a simple shepherd boy, young kid, shows up on the scene, makes a name for himself because he takes down Goliath, the big Philistine giant, the enemy, who's taunting the Israelite army. Goes in there with a slingshot, takes him down. People erupt. Woo! Saul brings him into his army. Obviously, he was a skilled warrior. But what's most troubling about this brain message that Saul had about this threat that David was if you looked at David and everything that he did, he was willing to do anything for Saul, his king. Anything. He was a cherished friend to Saul's son, Jonathan. When Saul would fall into these deep depressions, it was David who would come in and play his harp and try to soothe the mind of his master. The Bible says that anything Saul asked David to do, David ran and did it skillfully. He did it to the nth degree to please his master. And yet, no matter what, He did. In fact, it seems the more he did, the more in Saul's mind he determined David must die. Deceptive brain messages. How often do you experience deceptive brain messages in your head? This is the weird part. I don't think sometimes we even realize how many of them are flying. Now, let me just play out a typical scenario. Maybe we've all at one time or another experienced this. Something starts going in your head. She doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't care for you anymore. That's why she hasn't called. Right? She's going to break up with you tonight. You can feel it coming, can't you? Yeah. You know it. Something's off. Prepare for it. If she calls, if the phone rings and it's her, don't even pick up. You know what's coming. Thirty minutes of torture, waiting, convinced, the phone rings. It's her. Hello. Hi. She's on the other end of the phone. I'm sorry. I've been busy. You know why she's been busy? It's your 1 year anniversary. You guys started dating. She was preparing a big surprise dinner for you. Got all tied up. Now she's on her way over to pick you up. Now, amazingly, in a moment, you're delighted. Now the mind, what is it saying? She is amazing. She loves you. You are so lucky. I am. You're stunned. You forgot all about the anniversary. You didn't even know it was yours. You're going, man, I love her. Wow. In a moment, you've forgotten the deceptive brain messages and what it was just saying to you just seconds before. Flip. And on you go. Often I wake up in the middle of the night with these, I know they're deceptive brain messages going on, and they're flooding my mind, cooking me, reviving a recent situation or even something in the distant past. It's playing it over again. And it's painful. It's so real. Something's going on. Or it's something in the future. A potential situation that could happen. Often it's worst case scenario going down. You ever felt that? It's like, oh, that could happen. Oh. Mind just saying, yeah, but what if this? What if that? Weird how most often when the mind's working in these moments, it's often negative about stuff not going right. And man, my heart is worked up, anxious. Have you ever been tricked by your mind? Ever felt that? I had a person call me just not all that long ago, apologizing profusely for having said something to me. And they couldn't get the story out quick enough when I got on the phone. And I'm like, whoa. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what you're talking about. No, but you remember when I said this and I you know what, I accidentally mentioned this stuff and I just felt so bad. So I'm like going, honestly, I can't even remember the conversation. And she's saying, no, stop. I know you're just being polite. I'm going, no, I don't remember what you're talking about. There's no problem. She had been tortured by a deceptive brain message in her head for quite some time. Eckhart Tolle says that when you begin to allow these thoughts to run and you begin to get sucked into the narratives that start building, pretty soon the thoughts become compulsive. Like they just start running more and more to the point you have no control, or it seems very little. It's at this point that something begins to build in a very, very scary way. You begin to build a persona that's designed to kind of protect you from whatever it is that down deep you're afraid of or insecure of. Let me show you. You don't realize it's going on, but you're kind of creating what they call a false self. You've seen me do this before. Digitally enhanced is my taller brother. I want a word with whoever made this thing. I did not like that. No. We're afraid down deep that people are going to think things that maybe people won't like us, or that we will fail in certain ways. And so we begin to build kind of a false, what they call false self. Miranda, one of our guest speakers, spoke of this the other week. It's basically a persona that we want everyone to see of us. Isn't it true? It's a design to protect us. We build this thing, and for me, I realize my persona, there's some things you need to know about me. I want people to perceive me as being a man of strong character. I want people to know or to believe I got great kids. Now, I most days I do have great kids. Now, this one's debatable, but and this one I'm being forced to let go of. But I've always wanted to kind of be seen as cool by my kids. They've given up on it long before I did. I want people to know I'm a great husband. I want them to see when I'm looking at my wife lovingly and going, "What do you need, babe? I'm there. I want people to know that I'm, or believe that I'm intelligent. And some days I have a bright moment every now and then, but it's debatable on most days. I'm athletic. I want people to know, hey, I got some goods here. I want them to know that I'm a great dad. I want them to think that I'm financially wise. I want them to believe, and after messages like these, this will be debatable, but I'm emotionally stable. I'm caring. I got the ideal marriage going on. Kathy and I never fight. Close friends. Oh, I got some of the greatest friends, and I'm a great friend. I build this persona, and I kind of craft it so that most times when people are looking at me, that's me, right? I wonder what yours would look like, what words you would use for you. But this I want people to see, hey, that's Jeff. Here's the thing. This isn't Jeff. This is Jeff. This is my false self, the egoic mind. There's a number of different words that have been used to describe this. Here's the thing. When you start identifying or you start believing this is actually you, that's when the compulsive mind starts getting going and it's working. Oh, you got to do this and that. And watch out. They are thinking this of you. Oh, I got to. And all of a sudden, you get sucked into this compulsive thinking that builds a false self strong to the point where you identify so strongly, you actually believe this is you. You actually believe this is you. Jeff believes this is me and wants everyone to believe that. Here's the thing, you exert so much horsepower trying to maintain the false self. Oh, amazing amounts of effort. Someone comes over, I'm a great housewife. I can't let them see that. Oh, I'm the perfect mother. I can't let them see them. TV is letting my kids watch all day. I'm on the iPad for hours. I'm fit. I can't let them see I'm out of breath at the gym. Oh, the little ways that we protect the false self. The amount of effort that goes into building the mystique. And it's fueled by the compulsive mind. And I'm telling you, at some point when there's a little chink in the armor, that panic state, the nervousness, the mind going, someone doesn't like you. These are all signs you're living in full identification that you're believing you're this, not this. How do you break free of this? How do you get your mind to shut off feeling the pressure? Now, you'll notice something. These are not bad things, right? They're not bad things. That's the weird thing. The false self is full of great ideas. The problem is, on any given day, I'm not this. And if I'm allowed to be my true self, to feel like I am enough and not always trying to, if I could step out of the need to be all my false self wants me to be and be true to me. You want to talk about freedom? You want to talk about joy? You want to be able to talk about being open up and say, you want to know who I really am? Oh, some days. Today, not so much. My way to church this morning, had a dodgy moment there. I had a big fight with my kids last night, and my wife, I don't know what I was thinking. That was stupid. Oh, the false self never wants you to share those things. No way. Why? Because that might open you up for someone to say, you know what? I thought you were something else. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. I won't go into it. We're going to do a series this fall talking about attachment issues that sit underneath this thing. But you got to wrestle with this. What does your false self look like? What is the image you are, the persona you have built that you're working hard to maintain? Because I'm telling you, nothing will drive your compulsive thinking like this thing. How do you break free of that thing? I have read and read and read because I recognize I got this thing in spades. It all seems to lead to this one part, this one skill set called mindfulness. You've heard me talk about this before. Vince has talked about it before. Mindfulness. It's the intentional, accepting, non-judgmental focus of one's attention on the thoughts, the emotions, the feelings I'm having in one particular moment. Now, it's a mouthful. Let me say that again. It's the intentional, accepting, non-judgmental focus of one's attention. Pulling it in. You're not judging. You're just shining the focus on what it is you are feeling, sensing, and thinking in any given moment. Just for a second, imagine if you're in a movie theater, Casino Royale, one of the greatest movies going, and it starts up, and man, that screen, three-dimensional, boom, music starts to play, and there's Daniel Craig doing his thing, and man, all of a sudden, you just, whoa, the sound is so real. You feel it all around you. And now imagine they add some smell, and you can just almost feel it. You get sucked into that thing so hard. All of a sudden, man, it's like you're wearing the bow tie. You are James Bond. And man, every movie, and he's getting tortured. And you're like, ow, come on. And all of a sudden, he takes down that guy. And you're going, yeah. You are so brought into the story. You're feeling it. You are raptured. Every sense is pulled in. And then all of a sudden, someone trips the breaker. Boink, and the lights go on, and the sound's off. And you're sitting there, and you're like, that is what mindfulness does. Listen very carefully. Life is like the movie. You get sucked in, the compulsive thinking. People coming over. Jeff's running in the store. It's right here. And the thoughts are blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, mindfulness allows you to go, wait a second, whoa. And you pull back out of the story and go, what am I feeling right now? am I thinking right now? Why am I getting so worked up right now? What part of me is disturbed by what's happening around me? Oh, this, let me tell you something. I feel like I'm giving you a $1,000 bill this morning. If you really are getting what I'm saying, you want to put an end to the drama that you're getting sucked into in your life? Times when you're looking back with regret, going, what am I thinking? What was I, why did I say those things? You got caught up in the movie. Mindfulness says, whoa, pull back. Pull back. What is happening? What are you feeling right now? It says, wait a second. I'm feeling something. I'm feeling insecure right now because that person came over and is talking about her new diet and her new regimen, and she's in the gym and she's lost X number of, oh, I'm feeling insecure. That's what I'm feeling. I'm also feeling maybe a little bit jealous because she's found her thing and I haven't found mine yet. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what's going on right now. Okay. Mindfulness allows you to fact check. It creates enough a distance between what is going on here and where you're at in here to be able to look at all the brain signals, brain messages that are flying through your mind and begin to fact check what is real and what isn't. Here's the sad thing. Saul was at a point where he got so drawn into the story, so pulled into the movie of his life, he could not pull back and see David for who he really was. He couldn't. The tapes were playing so hard in his head, he was convinced all David wanted was him out. He needed to take down David. You know what's sad is Saul finished off his life. He lost his kingdom. He lost his son, Jonathan, who was killed in the battle that he had created. He lost his own life. Why? Because he couldn't pull back and see what was really going on here and separate fact from fiction. The reality of the story versus what his brain signals were sending to. Mindfulness stops the show and says, okay, wait a second. I'm feeling worried right now that this person, if they see this part of me, they're going to maybe reject me. Okay. Wait a second. Have they ever done anything like that to anyone I know? No. Why am I thinking that? When you begin to fact check in this world of mindfulness, it's shocking how all of a sudden the movie, the volume just drops. All of a sudden, the lights go on, and you're like, oh, that was a bit of a trip. Hey, we're all good. Sorry about that. It is a little panic moment there. I'm all good. Mindfulness requires certain muscles that typically are very undeveloped in most of us. Very undeveloped. It takes practice to remove yourself from situations, identifying what you're thinking and feeling. Oftentimes, I could look at people, and we've done this in our staff. Actually, after a meeting that got really amped up, Vince and I will be sitting there chatting, debriefing afterwards, and he looks at me, he says, what are you feeling right now? Because I sense you're upset about something. And I look at him with this blank stare going, let's just talk about the problem. He says, no. What are you feeling right now? I don't know what I'm feeling. It's a muscle that takes incredible practice to pull back and going, why am I feeling this way? To trip the breaker, to stop the movie, step back. You get in a fight with someone you love, and your stuff is spewing out of your mouth, slamming doors, saying things you're regretting, to be able to step back and go, whoa, really? I think I'm just upset because She said this and made me feel guilty. That's it. Can you imagine if you just said, whoa, 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 I'm not going to say anymore. I think it just started for me when you said this. I don't even know if you meant to do it, but I felt like you were making me feel ashamed because I didn't come and help you there, right there. And I reacted out of anger. And that person turns around and looks at you and goes, hey, it's all good. I didn't mean that at all. Oh. It sounds so easy in theory, but I tell you, I have been wrestling with some of these pieces for a long time now. And I'm telling you, once you become aware of this and you realize how often this thing hijacks your emotions, oh, it's frustrating. This is not easy business. But I'm telling you, when all of a sudden you're able to pull back from the movie, you want peace. You want silence and serenity. Does anyone remember when we had the lady, the yoga nidra lady in here? And they had the soft spa music playing. And she said, I want you to just close your eyes. Now, feel your heart beat. Did you know that yoga actually has served as one of the most powerful tools, yoga and meditation, to be able to get you to hit the breaker, pull back the movie, and be mindful in a moment? When I have done this and began to recognize, uh-oh, this is what's going on here. Aha, false self, aha. And I step out for a second. And in some of the most crazy moments where I'm so amped up, all of a sudden, peace, serenity, all of a sudden my mind, I'm looking at it, I'm going, uh-oh, you're doing this right now. And it's like when I can see it, all of a sudden it turns off. You want peace. You wrestle with this stuff that I'm talking about this morning. Wrestle with how do I work in mindfulness? How do I be more mindful? Oh, I'm over. Okay. Have you been getting all worked up lately? Have you? Have you been a prisoner of your own mind lately? I think there's stuff here you might want to consider. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know if you're identifying too strongly with some persona you're trying to maintain. I'm telling you right now, if that's you, you need to be aware of what it is you're trying to put out there and why. Stop the movie. Some of you this morning are looking at this, and probably you're like me. When I first opened up the book and began reading, I was just like, oh, this is a mind bender. How does this work? Maybe you need to do some reading. Three books I would highly recommend. Mindsight by Dan Siegel. Killer book. Killer book. Another one called The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle. Third one, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. You want peace in your own mind. Freedom from the compulsive thinker. Invest some time, some energy around this thing. I pray, just imagine one day, as you begin to wrestle with this more, you're going to look back each day in the evening and look back at your reactions to different scenarios that built that day. Be able to say, wow, proud of who I was here. Proud of how I responded in that situation. Look at that pressure cooker. Look at me. Right there, over time, it becomes weeks and becomes months, and all of a sudden, you know what, in the most freeing way, not some contrived, manufactured way, but you're able to actually live true to values you hold without it being in this unhealthy, stressful, anxious, ugly, self-absorbed way. It becomes freeing and peaceful. That's what I want for you. God, I pray for every person in this room who right now may be experiencing a diseased mind of some sort, compulsive thinking. Pray, God, that you would show them things, some of this stuff, lead us to a place of peace, to to our true selves that you have called us to be. Amen. Amen. Listen, have a great week this week. Get out there and live true to yourself, huh? All right.